Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
North Carolina now ranks 35th in the country in child well-being, according to the latest Kids Count report from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. There were improvements in some areas from last year, but the number of children in poverty continues to grow. Here to talk about the report and how policymakers should respond is Layla Bell with NC Child. Well, Layla, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the latest Kids Count data book put out by Annie Casey Foundation, released by NC Child. I want to ask some specifics, as always, but overall, what were your initial thoughts?
Well, we saw that despite what can be described as a modest recovery across the state, children and families are still struggling with economic hardship. But the data book also shows something else. Even as families have lost or struggled with their financial footing, we're seeing that children are making modest but measurable gains in their health. And we can really link that back to smart public policy decisions that have helped to support the types of resources kids need to achieve and maintain good health.
It's really stunning when you look at how many more children in North Carolina are living in poverty compared to just 7 or 8 years ago.
That's exactly right. So since the start of the economic downturn, more of our children have fallen into poverty. In fact, 1 in every 4 of North Carolina children now live in poverty, and that outpaces the national average. And we know that that has really significant consequences, not only for those little children's lives, but really for the future prosperity of our state, because poverty creates some very real academic, health, economic challenges that are difficult for children to overcome as they age.
And this report comes on the heels of census numbers that show that poverty rate among children of color is even higher.
That's exactly right. So in North Carolina, African American, Latino, and American Indian children are more than twice as likely to live in poverty. But we also know that poverty is a bit of an inadequate measure because it doesn't really tell us the financial obligations or what it really takes to raise a child. In fact, research suggests that the income level, it requires more than twice the poverty line to actually raise a child. So instead of $24,000, we're talking about twice that amount. And when we look at the number of kids that fall or live within those households, we're talking about more than 1 million kids in North Carolina, about 75% of our Latino children, 2/3 of our African-American children are living in homes that really struggle to meet their most basic needs.
It's interesting when we talk about how children are doing in North Carolina. Now we're understandably talking about how children living in poverty. But as you have pointed out many times and others, when we talk about poverty, the children aren't the ones earning or not earning income and not having benefits for the most part, it's their parents.
It definitely cuts to the importance of really having these two generational approaches. So it's important that parents are able to not only enter the workforce, but to stay in the workforce and understanding that that has very real benefits for their children. So we know that policies, things like the earned income tax credit, which helps put money back into families' pockets and help circulate it in local communities, things like child care subsidies, which help parents remain on the job and not have to make the difficult decision to either reduce their hours or leave the workforce altogether, can really help bolster household resources, stretch tight family budgets, and make sure children have more of the resources that they need in order to be successful.
And yet, as we sit here and talk about this, those things you mentioned have been, the earned income tax credit has been abolished. We had a change in the standards for child care subsidies. Some families lost child care. So it seems, at least initially, we might be going the wrong direction.
Well, we're definitely not making the types of investments that need to be made in order to bolster our child well-being, despite what we see is increasing poverty across the state. And we know that those changes to the child care subsidy standards you mentioned mean about 6,000 families of school-aged children will lose that resource. So again, those are parents that are going to have to make some tough decisions that might result in those children being placed in lower quality care settings or those parents having to withdraw from the workforce.
Let's move to some of the brighter spots. It's interesting, your answer to the initial question, despite all these things that we've just talked about, there are places where children and families are doing better.
That's exactly right, because what you would expect to see as financial hardship, families have less money to meet their children's need, as poverty increases, you would expect to see health to decline as a result because those two things are closely tied. But what we're seeing instead is that North Carolina had one of the largest declines in the percent of uninsured children. So 84% of kids in North Carolina have health insurance. And it's not magical. It's not by happenstance. It's really a result of investment in public health programs like Medicaid and NC Health Choice that cover more than a million kids in our state. So without those investments, those kids wouldn't have access to health insurance coverage, which is really the first step in being able to get the medical care and preventative services they need to maintain good health.
Another indicator, which is interesting, is the high school graduation rate, which is getting better. And that, again, is it's not like that is a result of investments in a year, that kids are going to school for 12 years and that those things start early. So that must be another encouraging sign.
Right. So, again, you're pointing to the return on those historic investments that we have made in the past that have done things like, in the past, increased access to things like preschool, which we know helps not only children enter school ready to learn, but make sure that they stay in the education pipeline. And that really has an impact on whether or not those kids graduate from high school. It's important to note that we've made progress in this area. We still have work to do. We're above the national average. So we can't just look at the gains that have been made over time and decide to start divesting from these types of systems and supports because we're not at a place where our kids have the resources that they need in order to overcome the challenges that they're dealing with.
I mean, it's interesting. The report finds that North Carolina's 34th in the country in overall child well-being. And we hear, it feels like every other day, there's a study showing we're the number two state for business or the third state for business, and everybody is applauding. And yet, if you look at how our children are doing, it seems the opposite.
Right. So North Carolina ranks 35th in overall child well-being. And that's exactly right, because we have a business-friendly climate, but we're not doing what we need to do to ensure that our children are able to grow into healthy, productive adults, which are really the fuel of a thriving economy and a productive workforce. So in order for us to reconcile these two things, to understand that our children will grow into the future workers, business leaders, entrepreneurs, even parents, we need to begin making investments in the types of supports that are going to help children overcome the challenges that we're seeing, the challenges of increased poverty. We haven't talked about it, but the growing racial disparities that are happening in our state, all of which threaten their long-term development.
And before I let you go, you've touched on a lot of them, but what are some of the policy implications? What would you hope state policymakers would take from this report?
Again, it's important to invest in the types of supports for parents that we know will benefit child well-being. So making sure parents are able to enter and remain on the workforce, to earn an adequate wage to support their family, to also invest in the types of programs that have been shown to blunt the negative impact of poverty on child development. So we know things like high-quality early care and education opportunities help, again, children be prepared to learn and to thrive in a number of different areas of their life. And also continuing to sustain and build on earlier investments in child health that have helped us make incredible gains and are putting us on the path towards where we need to be in that area.
Well, thanks for all you're doing, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Chris.
Up next, why expanding Medicaid helps working families. Stay with us.